Lord God hath purposed. Who shall discern all it? And his hand is stretched out. Who shall turn it back? So if God has decided to bless you, no man can change that. Amen. You need to also understand that the God that we serve is a worker. God, when you begin to see everything in the world today, you will notice that it is the hand of God. That is why I kind of laugh at people that question the existence of God. I question the people that don't want to talk about the fact that God is the one that created the world. They want to begin to think that this world was created by evolution. Amen. So the God we serve is a worker. Not only that, when God walks, God is a self-starter. God does not need anyone to prompt him to start a walk. Whenever God decides to do anything, he just decides and he just goes ahead and do it. It doesn't need permission from anybody. When the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. The Bible says the earth was void and there was darkness over all the place. The Bible says, and the Spirit of God began to over all the entire world. The Bible says, and God said. The Bible did not say that God had to go consult somebody before he did what he needed to do. The Bible just said, and God said. He decided, he looked at the whole thing, he saw the picture of the earth, and he said, you know what, something is not right here. So God started the work. Amen. Amen. Now, when God started the work, with no help of anybody, he finished the work. When he started, it looked like an undaunting task. It looked as if, can this be done? And the Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, when you begin to look at Genesis chapter 1, you will see, I believe in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, I mean no, starting from verse 2, verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14. The Bible said, and God said, and God said, and God said. And what you will notice that everything that God said, the Bible said, and God saw. Meaning that when God will create what he did the first day, meaning that he said, let there be light. The Bible says, after the end of the day, God will reveal everything he has said to see if it has come to pass. Then God will go to the next day. And this began to go on for the period of 6 days. 6 days, the Bible said, and God said, let us make man in our own image. So, fast forward to Genesis chapter 2, in verse 1, the Bible said a very profound word. He said, and God finished the work of creation. Don't forget, I said, God is a sovereign God. God is a worker. God is a self-starter, and also God is a finisher. Everything that God starts, God finishes it. Amen. That is to tell you that everything that God has started in your life, it doesn't matter where it may be right now. It doesn't matter what stage it may be right now. But because God is a finisher, that work shall be complete in the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says, he that began a good work in you, it says, he shall complete it until the day of our Lord. Amen. God will finish it. We begin to hear the word finish. What does it mean to finish something? To finish something means to bring an activity to completion. To complete something, to conclude something, to accomplish something, to achieve a desired goal. I want to believe strongly that everyone that is seated here today, there's a desired goal that you have in you. There's something that you are working towards. If you say you don't have a goal, what is that thing that you are praying to God for? That is a goal. You know somebody. If you are praying for God, if you are praying to God and say, Lord, all I want right now is a husband. That is what? A goal. If you are praying to God and say, Lord, I want a new car. That is what? A goal. So when we begin to talk about finishing, to finish means to achieve a desired goal. You begin to look in the scriptures. You will see that the Bible is filled with examples of people that started and they finished. Amen. God is the first example. Genesis chapter 2 verse 1, the Bible says, thus the heaven and the earth was finished. God finished that. Also in Genesis, the book of Genesis chapter 6, I believe in verse 22, the Bible talked of Noah. God told Noah, I want you to build an ark for me. In Genesis chapter 6 verse 22, the Bible said that Noah finished the work of building the ark. Joshua, God gave him a task. That he was going to be the one that would take the children of Israel from the place where Moses left them to go in to the promised land. So in essence, Joshua finished the work that nobody will finish. That thing that you started, you will finish it by God's grace. I say in the name of Jesus. The other person that we see is Solomon. I said Solomon decided to build a temple for God. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 11, 1 Kings chapter 9 verse 1, the Bible said, and Solomon finished the work of the temple. Amen. Last week when we were talking, I told you that Zerubbabel was the one that led the first exodus of the children of Judah out of Babylonian Empire and Persia. When they got there, they said that the first thing they did was to build a temple for God. And what Zerubbabel did was, Zerubbabel actually finished the work of building the temple. That is why in the book of Zechariah, I believe in chapter 4, I believe in verse 9 and 10, the Bible said that the hands of Zerubbabel, I started the work, and his hands will finish it. So, ladies and gentlemen, everything that your hands have started, in the name of Jesus, just like Zerubbabel completed that temple, you will complete it and finish it in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, you are not saying amen. I said, say amen. Jesus was a finisher. In the book of John chapter 17, verse 4, the Bible says, Jesus was telling the man, he says that my will is to finish the work. And in John chapter 19, he said, hear him, my God is glorified, in that I have finished the work. That was why when he got onto the cross in Calvary, he said what? It is finished. Amen. All these people were great finishers. So also Nehemiah. Nehemiah, last week we saw that he set out to build the wall. And in where we read, the Bible said, he actually now said 52 days later, he finished the wall. Well, there are four types of people. There are people who write history. There are people who read history. Many of you, that you are in school, they force you that you have to read history of Texas or history of the United States. Amen. What are you doing? You are reading what someone has written. And there are some people who watch history. Hello? They watched history. God will remove everybody that has been battering that company. You are not saying amen. Hello, somebody. I don't worry, history will happen. So Nehemiah was a history maker. So don't forget, I'm saying there are some people who write history. There's some people who read history. There's some people who watch history. And there are some people who just make history happen. You will be an history maker. I say, in your family, you will be an history maker. Oh, in your family, in your generation, you will be an history maker. In the mighty name of Jesus. So last week we saw that Nehemiah, being the cupbearer to the king, he was told about the ruins of the wall of Jerusalem. And he used his influence. He used his influence to build the wall. Just make sure you use it for a positive good. Amen. Listen. You know. All of us that are sitting here, we have influence over some. Whatever it is that God has given you, use it for a positive. that in the last, when everything is said and done, people can speak about you and say, you know what? Amen. Just to review a little bit, Nehemiah, I faced with opposition. Sanballat from Tobiah, from Geshem, and from the Ashdod. Amen. And we talked about the fact that the opposition that Nehemiah faced is an insight into how the devil operates, and is an insight into what the devil hates in your life. We talked about the fact that, number one, that the devil hates it when you take action in life. The devil hates it when you fortify yourselves. He hates it when you sacrifice, when you pay the price, when you turn things around. The devil hates it. Amen. But you shall finish in the name of Jesus. You're not saying amen. Say you will finish. Listen, what the devil does is, because he hates you finishing what you've started, he now begins to do everything to make sure that you don't get to the finish line. He will try distraction by negotiation. He will try to discredit you by intimidation. He will try to deceive you by manipulation, and he will try to discourage you in order for you to deviate, to destroy, to devastate, and to deprive you of the joy that is in when you complete. You know, when you complete a task, there's a joy that is there. The devil tries to do it. You don't understand how the devil operates. Listen, let me tell you something. The devil does not quit. The devil does not what? The battle, lose the war. The first person to win 3 games, win, isn't it? Imagine now in game 1 of 5 games, a team wins the first game and they begin to celebrate. Ah, we have won the game. And then the second game, they relax. Third game, they relax. The fourth game, they relax. Guess what happened? The other team will finally win the series. The way the devil operates is this. And this is how you need to understand. You know, it's really amazing how we as Christians, we don't even understand our enemy. Go to school. Pass the exam. Okay, you pass, Abby. Okay, pass the exam. What if you don't have a job? Praise the Lord. So you have to understand that the devil is not a quitter. But the Bible says he will leave you and come at an opportune time. You know, when we get a small victory, there's a tendency for us as human beings to just relax a little bit. But you will finish your goal. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you are writing now, let me give you 4 reasons why you must finish what you started. Amen. 4 reasons why. Number one. When you finish, you accomplish your goal and you are successful, it removes reproach from somebody's life. Nehemiah, when he went to God, he says, God, help us, because the wall being in ruins is a reproach to us. Listen, when you accomplish a goal in life, it is a reproach that God takes away from you. That is why whatever you are doing, you must strive toward to finish it. And the Lord will help you in the name of Jesus. If you finish building a house, that is a reproach that is taken now. You are not going to be counted among the people that doesn't have a house. No. If God provides you with a car, it's some sort of reproach that God has removed. Why? Because you are not part of the people that has to ask for it. If you finish your education, you don't have to be among the people that will say, it's a dropout. So when you finish and you are successful, it removes reproach. And every reproach in your life, the Lord will remove it in the mighty name of Jesus. Number two, why you must strive to finish is that when you finish your assigned goal, it brings self-confidence. Hello? You have that inner feeling, that self-confidence. But you just need to be careful that the self-confidence does not cross over into pride. Because one of the things you have to understand is that if you are not careful, sometimes because we are so self-confident of ourselves, we can lose sight that it is not about us, but it's about God that allowed us to complete and get success in what we did. The Bible says, who has anything unless that it has been given by what? By God from above. So when you finish your task in life, when you finish a goal, it brings you self-confidence. Number three, why you must finish, is that finishing something energizes you for the challenge in the future. You have not accomplished nothing. You cannot have strength. You can do it. What is your reference point? Are you getting me? What will be your reference point? Number four, why you must make sure you finish is that, listen, when you finish, it forces your opposition to respect your God. Nehemiah said in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible says, and it came to pass that when all our enemies, they heard that we have finished the job, it says, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things. What did the Bible say? The Bible said, they were cast down. Isn't it in your Bible? There are some people that will be cast down when you get success. You know, because they've told you that you can't do it. When you started, they were laughing at you. When you started, they told you there's no way you can do it. You are too old for it. Why are you worrying yourself? But when you now, when they see your invitation to say, this is what God has done, they were like, should I go? That is why when they come, they don't really come to say hello to you. They just come to watch. God has told you you cannot do it. When you finish it, they shall be cast down. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says, in their own eyes, they were like, he did. The Bible says, they now said, there was something very profound. He says, they now believe that everything that happened was by the hand of God. See, you have been telling them that God is with you, that God is going to help you. They are telling you that you have taken madness with your religion. But when they now see it, they will say, truly, 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 that is God that is at work. The Bible said of Moses, the Bible said, when the Egyptians, you know, at the second plague, when the land turn to frogs. The Bible says the Egyptians, the magicians, they went to Pharaoh. They said, you know what? We cannot do this. Why? Because this is the finger. Praise the Lord. Nehemiah said, the Bible says, when they saw it, they said, listen, you know what? God, see, you have not gotten to a place with God yet until your enemies and the heathen, the people that don't believe in God, until they get to a point where they begin to salute your God. Amen, somebody. So that is why you must finish. See, forget your own personal satisfaction. Forget your own personal glory. That's why when you that say, my glory will I not give to anyone. Never win. Wind has never quit. So somebody. But finish your course. In the mighty name of Jesus. So, if you know that you must finish, what do you need to do to be a finisher? I'll give you what I call the law of a finisher. If you are looking at an acronym, one of them, F-I-N-I. Laws of a finisher. Number one is what I call the law of focus. The law of what? Focus. What is the definition of focus? Focus means setting and fixing your eyes on a desired goal that is at hand. Amen. Listen, if you are going to be a finisher, you must be focused on where you are going. No. The reason why many people don't make it in life is because they get to a point and they lose focus. Let me introduce two words to you. There's something called important and urgent. Listen, there are some things that are important but not necessarily urgent. Also, there are some things that are urgent but not necessarily. And if you don't know how to decipher both of them, they may make focus. The Bible said of Mary and Martha came to their house. The Bible said they sat listening to Christ, because at that time listening to Christ was the most important thing. But the Bible says Martha, you know, say, oh, but you know, hey, the soup is still cooking. Hey, can you check the soup? She will sit down for a minute, then she will go again. The Bible spoke of Peter. The Bible said when Peter was walking on water, as long as he had his eye set on Jesus, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, as long as Peter was looking unto Christ, he was able to do the unthinkable. But the moment he shifted focus away, began to look into the wind, the Bible says, he sank. Listen, when you begin to shift your focus away from where you are supposed to be going, yeah, you will begin to sink your dreams. But your dreams will not sink. I hope someone is getting something here. Amen? Lack of focus equals to lack of success. Show me someone that is successful, I will show you someone who was focused. Somebody say focus. You already have a vision of where God is taking you. All you need to do is just focus on that vision. Amen. Focus on that vision. Focus. The Bible said when Nehemiah got back to Judah, even before he told the leaders what he came to do, the Bible said in the middle of the night, he did what? He began to drive around the whole place. Why? Because when he came, he had a focus. He knew that this is what I want to do. He knew that I need to do it in a specified amount of time. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, when you set a goal in life, that's why, you know, you see in the business world, they taught us that, you know, your goal must be smart. Measurable, achievable, what is the eye? Timely, must be realistic, the Lord bless you. Amen? Why did they say your goal must be smart? So that it can keep you on focus. But if I say, okay, I'm going to lose weight, there's something wrong Praise the Lord. Sin is that. Listen, if it's school that you are doing, be focused on it. If it's a business, be focused. But the pressures of life must not make you to lose your focus. Let me tell you that in the ocean, all the waters in the ocean don't get into a ship. Side the ship. The pressures get to you. Don't do it. Don't forget, for you to be a finisher, the first law is the law of a finisher. The law of focus. Stay focused on your goal. Stay focused on your calling. That is why I tell people, what are these days? Teaching years ago on eliminating stress in your life. He says, I'm going to do that teaching. And one of the reasons why we have stress is because we don't even know who we are. You don't know who you are. You don't know what God has called you to do. Then you begin to want to be a jack of all trades. Amen. You must stay focused. I see that when you are driving. About what everybody else is doing. Hello? We were not born the same way. We are not born the same day. Amen? What God has called you to do, what God has planned for you to achieve is different from mine. So why should I look at you? Hello, somebody? If God has blessed you now and I'm on my way, you know what? I will bless God for you and I'll say, God, what was I saying? I'm not checking you. My God, baby. They say something back where we grew up in Nigeria. They say, you do not look at another person's horse and determine how fast your horse will go. Because some horses are stallions. Some are not stallions. If you force a horse that is not a stallion to race like a stallion, the horse will die. You must stay focused. See, don't let what you have gone through and what you are going through stop you from where you are going to. Don't let what you have gone through or what you are going through stop you from where you are going to. That is why Paul said, he says, not that I have apprehended it yet. Meaning that I have not gotten to where I needed to get to yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, and then I press forward, I press towards, I focus on where God is taking me. What has happened. There's nothing you can change about it. What one, they say they don't write history, right? History can be changed. Yes! You had a challenge 2 years ago. Success comes. All somebody wants success in life. Nobody cares what you are. Everyone that has run you down before, they'll be forced to deal with you up there. The law of focus. Tell somebody, focus. Number two, the law of identification. The law of identification. You must identify potential distractions. There are some things that are designed to take you off your goals and shift your focus away. Of discernment. Yeah? How people think that? When that is working in your life, you must be able to identify potential distractions. Nehemiah, at the first instance, he knew that Sambalat, Tobiah, Gershom, this one, no good. No mind at all. You must be able to identify those things that are not designed to aid you on your journey to your success. Theology, living as God intended. That's some dream killers. You must be able to know it. When you see a friend, see, it's not everybody that you call.